Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Postsecondary Perkins Administrator Cohort meeting for the spring of fiscal year 2020. This recorded webinar will be discussing the fiscal year 2021 through 2024 local Perkins application, as well as subsequent postsecondary Perkins monitoring and grant compliance and processes. So today, as I just said, we will be discussing the fiscal year 2021 through 2024 local Perkins application and the respective postsecondary Perkins monitoring and grant compliance. So let's dive right in. The fiscal year 2021 through 2024 local application. Before we start, this is just a very quick diagram, kind of outlining where you should be at in the process. Currently, you should be working with your stakeholders to complete your comprehensive local needs assessment. Institutions have had access to this needs assessment since it was released in October. So this process should pretty well be wrapping up at this point. A sort of a soft deadline we have here is April 1st of 2020. The results of your comprehensive local needs assessment should inform the goals, objectives, and activities of your local application. Now, why I said soft deadline is just because we just wanted to give you an estimated deadline so you were able to give yourself enough time to actually complete your local application for the due date on May 1st. And then May 1st, 2020, submit your completed comprehensive local needs assessment and local application to the ICCB. So just a couple quick points about the comprehensive local needs assessment before we begin. The purpose of the comprehensive local needs assessment, or CLNA, is designed as the foundation of Perkins 5 implementation at the local level. It's what really drives the development and implementation of the Perkins 5 local application, including your funding prioritization for programs and programs of study. The CLNA should be used as an opportunity to take an in-depth, holistic look at your entire local and regional CTE system and identify areas where targeted improvements can lead to increased opportunities for student success. These are the areas to really focus on when you're determining your annual objectives and your long-term goals. So we would be remiss if we were talking about the CLNA and didn't discuss equity at all. So what does it mean to adopt an equity lens? The Comprehensive Local Needs Assessment that was developed by the Office for Community College Research and Leadership, or OCCRL, is really framed around equity, as is the Perkins 5 legislation at the federal level. So what does it mean to adopt an equity lens? It really means assessing your current policies and procedures and taking ownership for how current institutional practices may not be working for certain student subpopulations. Once these problems and gaps are identified, community college leaders should take system-oriented action to dismantle these barriers to student access and opportunity while providing varying educational resources and opportunities to rectify any inequities. So when we're talking about the CLNA, you might be wondering, okay, give me the bullet points of what needs to be integrated into my local application. So when you're writing your local application, here are four things you need to pull out of your CLNA and that must be represented within your local application. Any identified equity gaps, any identified institutional, community, and local workforce needs, a focus for your program of study, and stakeholder input in and participation with identified activities, objectives, and goals. So we discussed what must be integrated throughout, but where can we integrate these components into the local application? When we're discussing performance improvement, do the performance gaps correlate with your identified equity gaps? They may or they may not. Within your application narrative, there are several areas where you can integrate your CLNA findings. When you're writing your long-term goals, identifying what new and existing institutional policies must be created and updated. When you're writing your annual objectives, how do these objectives align with the information gleaned from the CLNA? Leveraging internal and external partnerships. Identifying these partners from the outset will be very helpful. The CLNA process is crucial for this, as you will already have these individuals at the table. Using goals and objectives to address uncovered equity gaps. One of the biggest takeaways from the CLNA, make sure that your goals and objectives and activities address these identified equity gaps. And programs of study. The CLNA should inform these programs of study that will be developed and funded. All right, so this is the sort of checklist that we created for your use. It can be found within the local application, one of the very first pages. Items 1-7 are included within the application packet that you received. You have your application cover page, performance data analysis, performance improvement narrative and plan, a copy of your completed CLNA. This is obviously a separate document. The CLNA outcomes review, your application narrative, which is really the meat, and your programs of study inventory. Items 8, 9, and 10 are all separate documents. Your uniform budget, your annual work plan, and your acknowledgement of grant processes document. All three of these are separate from the application packet that you received, and they all must be submitted annually. So the application cover page, this hasn't changed hardly at all from other application cover pages that you've seen in the past. So you have to include your basic contact information for the primary Perkins, secondary Perkins, and your grant fiscal contacts. Please note, the individual listed under primary Perkins is the lead contact for Perkins. This person is responsible for all communications and reporting to the ICCB. Please do not put your boss or your supervisor, because this primary Perkins contact goes into a spreadsheet that we have internally at the ICCB, just so kind of a quick access, we know who to contact in case we really need to. You also must include the number of students served. This is your total number served through Perkins dollars in fiscal year 2020. Estimated and duplicated counts are acceptable here. Additionally, you must develop your application using your allocation amounts from fiscal year 2020. So on your application cover page, it has a line where you put your application amount. For the time being, just put your allocation amount from fiscal year 2020. Please note, if there are any changes to the Perkins contact at your institution, please let us know. You can either let your CTE Perkins liaison know, or you can send that information to the CTE mailbox. This is just a screenshot of what the application cover page looks like. Now we're going to get into accountability. The first part of that is your performance data analysis. So at a very general ground level, this is conducting a data analysis at your institution. Under Perkins 5, colleges are required to disaggregate data by student populations, specifically special populations, and each core indicator according to CTE program, program of study, or career cluster. The table on the next page shows each of the three core indicators of performance, as well as the state-determined levels of performance for fiscal years 21 through 24. Please note, these are still in draft form at the time of this webinar, which is March 19th, as the U.S. Department of Education has not yet formally accepted Illinois' state plan for Perkins 5. So this table does not need to be completed for fiscal year 21. If you'll note in the column where it has the initials ALP, that stands for actual level of performance. Where it says fiscal year 2021, that information will be completed when you're writing your annual work plan for fiscal year 2022. Again, for this upcoming fiscal year, which is fiscal year 21, you do not need to complete this table, as you do not have any information for your actual levels of performance for fiscal year 2021. The second part of the accountability metrics is the performance improvement narrative. Now, this is a little different than years past. In addition to your performance improvement plan, which we'll talk about in a couple slides, we're asking that you also provide a performance improvement narrative. And this is really about describing any existing gaps or disparities in performance for each subpopulation. Describe activities that will address these gaps. Utilize the performance improvement plan table to identify these activities and the corresponding performance indicator that is being negatively affected. Do these gaps in performance correlate with equity gaps uncovered throughout the CLNA process? Make sure you elaborate on that if so. If after 3 years' time the gaps continue to exist, describe what additional actions will be taken to eliminate those gaps and disparities. So your performance improvement plan is the third part of your accountability metrics. This also looks very similar to past Perkins plans, where you have to identify and address each of the underperforming performance indicators. Include a minimum of one activity for each performance indicator. When you're doing so, you must identify the subpopulation you're targeting for that performance indicator. Make sure you're targeting demographics and special populations that are negatively impacting the overall performance in a given area. Please note you must include all of these activities within the program narrative. Additionally, make sure you specify the amount of Perkins resources that will be expended on each of these activities. Additionally, for expected outcomes, please include one expected outcome for each indicator, not each activity. So if you've written three targeted specific activities for performance indicator 1P1, you only have to include one expected outcome for one of those activities. Since these activities are supposed to be specific and targeted, it's a best practice if you create expected outcomes for all of the activities, but it's not required. This is a screenshot of the performance improvement plan. Again, it hasn't changed much at all from past Perkins plans. The next part of your application submission is the CLNA outcomes review. Now, in addition to providing a copy of your completed CLNA, you must complete this CLNA outcomes review. For each component, identify what data was used and what equity gaps were uncovered, and provide a narrative overview of the results of that component and a high-level summary of your plan of action for addressing any identified equity gaps. Question to consider when you are doing your CLNA outcomes review. Were you surprised by any results? Was stakeholder input helpful in this process? Why or why not? And what institutional processes were used in conducting your assessment? You are not limited to considering these questions, but these are just examples of some that you can consider. Again, this information must be represented somewhere within your application narrative and/or annual work plan. And this is a screenshot of what the CLNA outcomes review looks like. On the left are all of the required components of the CLNA. Directly next to that is a column for you so you can identify what data was used, and then also what equity gaps did you uncover. And the second half, bottom portion, is where you put your narrative review. Those are those questions we just went over. When you're thinking about your CLNA outcomes review, think about it as really creating it to be useful for you. If you'll remember, you are required to come back to your CLNA every 2 years. So this is kind of a handy quick reference guide. Okay, what data did we use last time? Was that helpful? What stakeholders did we engage last time? Was that helpful? Were there different stakeholders we should engage this time? Were there stakeholders we shouldn't engage? What equity gaps did we uncover 2 years ago? Are those equity gaps still applicable? The next portion of your application submission is the narrative, and this is really the meat of your submission. Your application narrative must span grant fiscal years 2021 through 2024. It may be submitted in a separate document, table, or form. You will have the opportunity to update your annual narrative annually, but not drastically change. You must incorporate the outcomes from your CLNA into your application narrative. When you're thinking about your narrative, it's really about thinking big picture and thinking long term. One of the main goals of Perkins 5 is to really move those needles by using a long-term lens. So we're trying to get away from those annual Perkins plan submissions where you write an activity and you kind of hope that it addresses what you need it to address. And you write your measurable outcomes and hope that they're doing what you need them to do. But this four-year narrative is really about creating long-term and lasting change that you can see and measure. So there are six concentration areas within your narrative. We have work-based learning, career exploration, development, and guidance, supporting special population students, early college credit, enhanced curriculum and instruction, and then recruitment, retention, and professional development, preparation, and training. All right, so the following components must be addressed for each question. So when you're thinking about, let's take work-based learning, that first component as an example. So when you're thinking about work-based learning, for work-based learning, you must address each of these five components for that question. So what are your long-term goals for work-based learning? Describe how those goals align to Illinois State Plan goals, if they do, and what new and existing institutional policies will be created and updated. What are your annual objectives for work-based learning? How are these objectives going to allow you to get to that long-term goal? How do these objectives align with and how are they supported by the information gleaned from your CLNA? How would they help Illinois achieve its goals described in the state plan? Third, what support services or other institutional services will be utilized? What internal or external partners will be leveraged? And how will the identified goals and objectives inform any uncovered equity gaps? Now, numbers 4 and 5 specifically, remember when we discussed the CLNA and where you can incorporate components of and findings and outcomes from your CLNA into your application narrative. Number 4, you already have these individuals at the table. These are individuals that you will be consistently working with, either through advisory committees, revamping your CLNA, curriculum review, program review, whatever it may be. These are folks who you already have at the table, so make sure you're using them. Additionally, how are you going to write activities and goals and objectives that really help move the needle for those equity gaps that you uncovered when you were looking at your CLNA? And In addition to the application narrative, you will be required to submit an annual work plan. Again, the annual work plan is a separate document. It's pretty basic, and it really looks a lot more like the Perkins plans of the past. And the annual work plan is a working document intended to be a place where you can write those specific activities that are going to help you reach your annual objectives and your long-term goals. As a reminder, you must also submit an annual uniform budget. So the second part of the application narrative is programs of study. As we all know, Perkins 5 finally gave us a definition of programs of study. So the programs of study section of your application narrative is going to look a little bit different than those of Perkins plans past. So we're asking that you provide a narrative. Provide a description of any new programs of study that will be developed and submitted to the state for approval. Address all six requirements of a program of study, identifying what currently exists and what needs to be created or implemented. How does the local needs assessment inform the selection of CTE programs and activities selected to be funded? How will these programs be aligned to the local and regional labor market? Provide specific information regarding how the programs will fit into a career pathway. Include if the program of study includes an industry-recognized credential. And for any programs of study that have not yet been approved by the ICCB, please complete the programs of study approval application, which is a separate document and will be available later this spring. The programs of study narrative continued. Describe how your CTE programs of study meet the state size, scope, and quality criteria. For those that do not, describe how the college is working toward meeting those criteria. Utilize the findings from Section 6 of your CLNA. Additionally, describe how students, including students who are members of special populations, will learn about CTE course offerings and whether each course is part of a CTE program of study. The last part of your programs of study narrative is providing a list of all fully developed programs of study. Yes, all fully developed programs of study. As opposed to years past, the programs of study inventory should only be completed for programs of study developed to date. Utilize the programs of study expectations tool, which is currently being revamped. Complete the programs of study inventory. You must list the title of the program of study, all of the partner high schools. Does it meet the minimum expectations and quality standards? This is information you will get from the Programs of Study Expectations tool. Provide an update on the progress or changes that have occurred. Detail specific areas in need of improvement for those that do not meet the minimum expectations and quality standards. How does this program of study fit into a career pathway? And finally, does the program of study meet the state's size, scope, and quality definition? And this is a screen grab of the Programs of Study inventory sheet. All right, now on to the uniform budget. The uniform budget is the same GATA budget that we've been using for, I think, about 4 years now. It contains 10 expenditure account categories: personnel, fringe benefits, travel, equipment and supplies, contractual services, consultant and professional services, training and education, other, and general administration. Please note that general admin may not exceed 5% of your total federal Perkins allocation. Make sure all of your Perkins-funded activities are briefly described within your budget. So here's an example. This is a screen grab of the personnel tab of the uniform budget. So this looks the same as it has in the past, except for the column on the very left. That column used to say principal, element, and activity. It doesn't say that anymore since we have gotten away from using the principles and elements. So instead, you will use your work plan and the activity number within your work plan. And whenever you see the work plan, it'll make a little bit more sense. Additionally, please provide a brief narrative description of each of your line items. Here's a uniform budget FAQ. These are some frequently asked questions that we get about the uniform budget. WIOA expenses for infrastructure and shared system costs must be listed under general administration and are therefore capped at 5% of your Perkins allocation. Tutors can be listed under personnel or contractual and can be listed separately or as an aggregate. Paraprofessional and tutors should be listed separately. Faculty stipends typically fall within the contractual expenditure category. However, some colleges categorize stipends under personnel. Please check with your local business office. Printing costs can be categorized under either general administration or supplies. Determining supplies versus equipment. Equipment is defined as an article of tangible personal property that has a useful life of more than 1 year and a per unit acquisition cost which equals or exceeds $5,000. Items which do not fall under these guidelines are typically classified as supplies. Generally, supplies include any materials which are expendable or consumed during the course of the grant year, or items under $5,000, regardless of their useful life. Such items include office supplies, postage, training materials, books, and computing devices. One could make the argument for computing devices as an equipment, as they typically do have a useful shelf life of more than 1 year. Colleges can have a lower threshold for classifying equipment, but not a higher threshold. What this means is if you go to your business office and they say, well, we classify equipment as $2,000 or above, that's fine. Go by that standard at your institution. However, if you go to your business office and they say, well, we classify equipment as $7,000 and above, that's not allowable. Equipment purchases should be detailed in the equipment narrative, otherwise future ICDB approval will be needed. Travel. All travel should be detailed in the travel tab, including out-of-state travel. Now, out-of-state travel requires additional details, such as the dates and location of travel, thorough conference description, and expected outcomes of the travel, and expenditure amounts. If these details are not available at the time of the plan submission, the college will be required to complete an out-of-state travel request form, which is the next slide. Student travel specifics. Perkins Live includes more flexibility pertaining to local uses of funds to assist career and technical student organizations, or CTSOs. Perkins specifies that such funds can be used for student preparation and participation in technical skills competitions aligned with CTE program standards and curriculum. As always, international travel is unallowable and is currently unadvisable. This is a screen grab of the out-of-state travel request form. It looks the same as in years past. So just quickly, compliance with WIOA. Again, please remember that WIOA expenses for infrastructure and shared systems costs must be listed under general administration. General administration cannot exceed 5% of your total grant allocation. So therefore, your WIOA expenses cannot exceed 5% of your total allocation. We see a federal alignment of Perkins 5 and WIOA. Local planning is currently happening, and there are a number of alignment and partnership opportunities there that should be leveraged. At a minimum, Perkins grantees are required to provide access to information about programs and services at the one-stop through direct linkage. Okay, post-secondary Perkins monitoring. We've revamped and updated our monitoring procedures again to make it flow a little bit better. Monitoring will still utilize a risk-based assessment. The risk-based assessment determines the grantee's risk designation. Risk is assessed based on fiscal and programmatic factors, and those factors are still being fleshed out. As a general timeline, we hope to produce a monitoring schedule of sorts by the beginning of April, with the first visits being scheduled by the end of April and conducted mid-May and June. So if you remember, last year, monitoring procedures consisted of elevated, moderate, and low. If you were of elevated risk, you received an on-site visit. That's still the same way we are doing monitoring now. So you will receive an on-site visit if your institutional risk score was in the top 20% of all ICTP grantees. If you are in what used to be the moderate or low risk designation, you will receive targeted technical assistance. As far as programmatic monitoring specifics, if you are at elevated risk and will receive an on-site review, you'll be required to complete the self-assessment portion of the monitoring tool and submit documentation specific to the documentation checklist. Targeted technical assistance grantees will receive targeted technical assistance to discuss the previous fiscal year's grant, as well as any questions or concerns they have regarding the current grant year's grant. Grantees will not receive a formal monitoring report for anything other than elevated risk. What grants can you expect will be monitored? The risk-based monitoring system applies to all grants you receive through ICCB. That means that your ICCB CTE liaison will be monitoring your previous Perkins basic grant, as well as any Perkins Title I leadership grants your institution received. Please note that if the Perkins administrator is not the contact for a specific leadership grant, then the applicable persons will be contacted. And this is sort of a brief timeline and process for monitoring. The college will be notified of the visit, if you're receiving a visit, approximately 1.5 months prior. If you are receiving a desk review or a desk audit, this applies to you as well. The self-assessment portion of the programmatic monitoring tool is completed and submitted back to the ICCB approximately 2 weeks prior to the visit, and that again is for elevated risk. After reviewing the self-assessment, the applicable fiscal year's Perkins plan, and other reports, supplemental documentation may be requested. The on-site visit or desk review then occurs. On-site visits will typically be conducted jointly with ICCB fiscal staff. A consolidated fiscal and programmatic final monitoring report is issued by the ICCB within 30 to 45 calendar days after the conclusion of the visit. This report will outline all advisory recommendations as well as compliance findings. All compliance findings will require the college to submit a corrective action plan within a specified amount of time. And lastly, we'll be talking about submissions, requests, and reporting specifics. April 15th is the deadline to submit an extension to submit your local Perkins application. You will not receive an extension past 7 days past May 1st. So by May 8th, your Perkins application must be submitted. And that's only if you ask for every extension request. When you ask, or if you ask for an extension, they will be considered on a case-by-case basis, and you must include the reason for wanting the extension. May 1st is the application due date. It used to be May 31st. That's not the case anymore. We've received some questions about this, and it's really just so we can make sure that we're giving you the appropriate amount and thoroughness and detailed assessment and information back to you. We know you put a lot of time and effort and work into this application and your CLNA. So we want to make sure that we provide feedback accordingly. By May 30th, you must complete the risk assessments. Those include your internal controls questionnaire and your programmatic risk assessment. As of when this webinar is being recorded, which again is March 19th. Neither of those is available to you yet, but look for those to be in your inbox. By July 1, ITCB will approve the application and budget, barring any major revisions, unfinished sections, or unallowable expenditures. Please note that expenditures may not begin until the college receives approval of their submitted application and shall not begin before July 1st of 2020. Reporting requirements are the same as they have been. Pursuant to EDGAR guidelines, recipients are required to submit a report 30 days after the end of each quarter. Please submit their report to the CTE mailbox, which is cte@iccb.state.il.us. Additionally, grantees are required to submit a fiscal expenditure closeout report 60 calendar days following the end of the grant period. That would be due on August 30th of 2021. Please submit this report to Patrick Walwer. Finally, budget modifications. Colleges must submit a budget modification if a project needs to make major adjustments. If a modification is greater than 10% or $1,000, whichever is greater, of any specific line, and modifications will not be accepted past May 30th. To request a budget modification, colleges must submit the following information: the budget modification request form, which is the last tab of your uniform budget, a revised uniform budget, specifically highlighting the revised areas in the signed certification, which is located at the bottom of your budget modification request form. Modifications must be submitted and approved prior to any expenditure of funds. This is very important. If you spend the funds before we have formally approved your modification, and it turns out that something you did was unallowable, you will have to submit those funds back. That concludes our webinar. On the left-hand side are ICCB CTE staff. On the right-hand side are resources. We have the ICCB CTE website, the Perkins guidelines and application for fiscal years 2021 through 2024, additional Perkins 5 information and resources, and the post-secondary CTE grant manual, which has been updated. Thank you for joining this webinar. And if you have any questions, please feel free to reach out to any of these individuals within the ICCB CTE staff, and have a great day. Thank you.